From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
Well, it's been another scorching day here in Salford in Greater Manchester. It's still very warm. It's been a beautiful afternoon, so it has. How are you doing, by the way? It's April 7th, it's Tuesday's programme. We're coming up for 3.5 minutes after 5 UK time. The programme is live. And yes, my name is Richie Allen. I can't read your tweets today because the programme is still suspended from Twitter. I don't care too much about that, but I'm just letting you know that is the case. Max Egan joins me live from Australia in just over an hour's time, provisionally. I'm hoping that Max gets up in time because it's going to be around about 3 o'clock in the morning there. He's really happy to do it and he would prefer to do it that way rather than to record the programme. So Max is going to wing in from Australia. There's a cliche for you. He's going to wing in, all being well. Anyway, there's lots to talk about before we introduce Max to you again. This is, that was a bit loud, wasn't it? This is your Richie Allen Show. How you doing? Welcome, welcome, welcome.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yeah, I love the weather when it's like this. And what I've loved this afternoon is there were lots and lots and lots of people in the playing fields where I go for my afternoon doggy walk, you see. And that was nice, that, to see lots of people playing football and hanging around. Good for them. Good for them, I say. Right, so I mentioned Max. Before that, we'll round up one or two things. Some interesting things I picked up on the UK media overnight. I think you'll find interesting as well. And that's really... Well, that's the introduction over. All right. So there you are. The great Max Egan. Second hour. Before that, me and thee. You and me. Got a heads up from Rog earlier this morning. Rog looks after the Facebook page and the YouTube channel. Now, I've got access to both, but he does the lion's share of the monitoring of Facebook and YouTube. I don't post to Facebook at all, really. I do upload the videos to YouTube. That's all I do. And thereafter, he keeps an eye on things. And he sent to me this morning, he said, "Oh, your YouTube channel has been demonetized, Richie." Now, I couldn't give an arse. Genuinely. I couldn't care less. I've left all that behind me a long time ago. The channel brings in, on average, about 120 English pounds. Between 120 and 140 pounds a month. Which is nothing, really. In the grand scheme of things. And those of you who've been around me long enough will know this YouTube channel that we have now is the second one. The first channel was a massive success. I'm starting to sound a bit like Donald Trump now. Sending yourself flowers again, are you, Alan? No, I don't speak in those terms, you know that. It had nearly 100,000 subscribers and 30 million views. And it was gaining subscribers at the rate of about 7,500 a month. So it was a pretty big deal, that YouTube channel. And YouTube deleted it. And I was very annoyed at the time. And that was that. And then I put a new YouTube channel together and it's been ticking away for about 2.5 years or thereabouts. So this morning, they said, right, no more monetization. I mean, it's minimal anyway. And they sent a notification. Okay? I don't know if I've got the notification handy. But it just said, basically, your channel is no longer eligible to monetize. Upon a recent review, we found that a significant portion of your channel is not in line with YouTube's monetization policies. So the language is important. Recent review and significant portion. Please review our feedback below and make changes. And the feedback below states harmful content. Content that focuses on controversial issues and that is harmful to viewers. And to get around this in the future, Google YouTube says, review your content and change it. Changes include editing or deleting videos, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So So that came in. I couldn't give an arse. I really couldn't anymore. Roger put something on Facebook about it. He was a bit peeved. And he said, look, it's worth explaining what's going on without focusing so much on your own channel for the Richie Allen Show. And he makes a good point. So this is what's going on. And I had an interesting telephone call with internet impresario Hayden Hewitt from Trigger Warning TV and LiveLeak.com. Had a chat with Hayden this morning, and he had some very interesting contributions to make when chatting with me earlier. So this is important. It ain't about the BBG or my YouTube channel. That doesn't matter anymore. It's about the bigger picture, and it's about everybody, really. So let me explain the partnership program, how it works. So if you've got a YouTube channel, and if you've got more than 1,000 subscribers, and if you've got more than a nominal amount of views, I don't know exactly how many views you need to have, or you need to have 4,000 watch hours. So your videos need to have been watched for a combined total of at least 4,000 hours, and you need to have 1,000 subscribers. And if you do have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 viewing hours, you are then eligible for the YouTube partnership program. You're eligible to do business with YouTube. And how that works is quite simple. They place videos on your... Excuse me, it's been a long day. They place ads on your videos. So advertisements will show up on your videos. And you get some money out of it, and Google gets some money out of it. It's very simple. As a model, the more views you get, the more money. And advertisers, it must be said, I don't think we talk about this often enough, they have found Google's program of advertising on YouTube. Advertisers found it to be fantastic because they get a lot of bang for their buck, and advertising is a fraction of the cost that it would be on television. Really works out well for big companies. So it's a partnership. You are in a partnership with Google. So Google says recent reviews. I've come back to work after a few weeks off, and coronavirus is dominating the news. So it's got to be about some of the content around the coronavirus on the programme. Google says, in our review, we found content on your channel that is not in line with the following guidelines. To monetize, your channel must comply with all YouTube monetization policies. So again, just to repeat, review your channel. Google says you do it. You figure it out by yourself. Make changes, including editing or deleting videos. And then harmful content. Now, so if I click on the link to YouTube monetization policies and I scroll down to the section entitled harmful content, there is a very, very, very long list of things that might be seen to be harmful, at least according to Google. In short, it's a very, very broad, long list, but also deliberately, at least I think deliberately, very, very vague. And YouTube will never be explicit in its claim. In other words, YouTube won't say, for example, you interviewed Dr. Shiva, who said this about coronavirus and said that about coronavirus. The content of your interview with Dr. Shiva, we think it's harmful. Google will never do that. Why? And this is what Rog wanted me to get into today, because I know a little bit about this. We can broaden this out. It's not about my show. As I said, I just don't care about Google or YouTube anymore. I know what it is. So he's right, Rog, because a lot of people don't know this. Why? Why is YouTube not being explicit? Why has YouTube come to me and many, many, many others and said, you're demonetized or we're deleting your channel because of harmful content? Why hasn't it been explicit and said, here's an example for you, Monday, February the 7th, or back in September last year, the 26th, or whatever. Why? Well, it can't, because to pinpoint something or one particular show or interview opens a massive can of worms for Google. It can't publicly say something specifically is harmful, because by doing that, it would be opening the door for not only the channel owner, in this case me, to defend myself, but they'd also be opening the door to regulation. And YouTube doesn't want to be regulated or audited or scrutinised as to how it treats its channel owners. Now, don't get your knickers in a twist, you anarcho-capitalists out there. I'm not saying that I'm in favour of the government regulating the media. No, I'm not. Listen to my programmes going back years. I am not in favour of politicians determining how the media in any of its forms is regulated. I would be in favour of a non-corporate, non-government, independent organisation run by legal scholars, men and women drawn from the public, to scrutinise organisations like YouTube. For this very reason. Because there is no recourse for me or anyone like me with what happened to us overnight. You can't pick up the phone and speak to someone and demand, as should be your right, which particular content are you suggesting is harmful, because they might be right. Maybe I was asleep on my watch. Maybe somebody said something on a programme about somebody and maybe I didn't hear it or didn't challenge it or was unfair. Maybe. Well, point it out to me. But you see, that isn't the case. They've designed or rolled out their system very, very carefully over the years. You can be deleted or demonetized for alleged harmful content, but you will never be told what specifically, and you will never be allowed to speak to anyone there. And I would hope that some of my listeners who have studied and practiced the law would take a very close look at this, because by demonetizing your channel, well, let's start from the monetization point of view. By monetizing your channel and by taking your cut and by entering into a partnership with you, as Hayden Hewitt said to me very cleverly this morning, Google is in business with you. Surely it has legal obligations to you, the channel holder. Surely it can't keep falling back on the old excuse, well, it's our football, we decide who plays and who doesn't. It's grown beyond that now. Google, YouTube is a state actor. It is a behemoth. I'm not going to get into, again, that old argument, that old chestnut about how Google should never have been allowed to acquire YouTube. I'm not going to go down that bloody road. So maybe Hayden is right. Monetizing your channel, taking their cut, entering into a partnership with you, surely it must have some legal obligation to explain to you forensically. Well, this is why we believe that your channel has put out harmful content. And surely they should be compelled to enter into a proper dialogue with you, rather than just dump you out and say, you breached our rules, but we're not going to say when or where. Figure it out yourself. 16 and a half minutes past the hour. It is a legal issue for our time and our times. And I would hope that somebody with money, with plenty of money and time on their hands, who might say, I'm going to take this on here. Because there is a number of issues at play here. Not just free speech, which is the obvious one. All right. I'm going to take a tune. When I come back, I'm going to read something that I came across on the BBC website this afternoon about David Icke, and then I'm going to move on. So I'm going to take a tune because it's lovely out. I mean, it's absolutely glorious. And because of that, this tune has been going around in my head all day long. I don't know why. This is Rufus and Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. On the Richie Allen Radio Show, the biggest baldy gammon in the world. Great to be with you this Tuesday afternoon. Wish I could read your tweets on Twitter, but I can't, I'm afraid. Asher, you know. Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. Yeah, that's Rufus and Chaka Khan on the Richie Allen Radio Show. Let's move on. The weather word, there's another cliche. That's two. I'm being monitored today. Today is one of my monitoring days. I shouldn't know when I'm being monitored. I've got a couple of friends, very, very, very good radio presenters, and they monitor me from time to time, and they give me feedback. I shouldn't know when they're doing it, but I'm told they're doing it today. There's two cliches. The weather word from Connemara in the west of Ireland is it's not very sunny. It's bright with a chilly wind. But apparently, women are getting some washing done accordingly. Some women. You sexist bastard. Right, let's move right on. BBC today, bbc.co.uk. Their website this lunchtime has run this story, and a lot of people are reading this story and sharing it around. YouTube has banned all conspiracy theory videos falsely linking coronavirus symptoms to 5G networks. The Google-owned service will now delete videos violating the policy. It had previously limited itself to reducing the frequency it recommended them in its Up Next section. The move follows a live-streamed interview with conspiracy theorist David Icke yesterday, in which he had linked the technology to the pandemic. YouTube said the video would be wiped. During the interview, David Icke falsely claimed there is a link between 5G and this health crisis. And when asked for his reaction to reports of 5G masts being set on fire in England and Northern Ireland, he responded, "If 5G continues and reaches where they want to take it, human life as we know it is over, so people have to make a decision." That might land David Icke in a bit of hot water. Might do. I hope it doesn't, but it might do. They might say, "That's incitement, David." The proper response might be, "Well, I believe 5G is going to be terrible. Its health implications are going to be dreadful for people, but I'm not going to comment on stories about people setting things on fire," is what he might have said. Anyway, the story goes on. Several users subsequently called for further attacks on 5G towers in the comments section. This is on a channel called London Real. Icke also falsely claimed that a coronavirus vaccine, when one is developed, will include nanotechnology microchips that would allow humans to be controlled. He added that Bill Gates, who was helping fund COVID-19 vaccine research, should be jailed. His views went unchallenged for much of the 2.5-hour show. This is the problem, of course. I saw some of it. The guy conducting the interview, I don't know who he is, but he should have said, when he got a chance to, not always easy with David, God love him, he should have said, "The nanotechnology, how do you know for sure that nanotechnology microchips will be in the coronavirus vaccine?" And then let David explain why he believes that. And the guy didn't. Anyway, the interview was watched by 65,000 people when it was live, and so on. YouTube only deleted it after the session had ended, despite being aware of the broadcast while it was ongoing. And what is interesting is, David Icke, of course, is formerly of the BBC. The BBC seemingly contacted YouTube, which is owned by Google, to ask why the live stream hadn't been taken down. And YouTube told the BBC, "We have clear policies that prohibit videos promoting medically unsubstantiated methods to prevent the coronavirus in place of seeking medical treatment. And we quickly remove videos violating these policies when they are flagged to us." "Any content that disputes the existence or transmission of COVID-19, as described by the World Health Organization and local health authorities, is in violation of YouTube policies." And this is, of course, why the Richie Allen Radio Show YouTube channel was demonetized overnight, because Dr. Shiva, you know, the MIT gentleman who was on the program last night, who takes a very different view to the virus. He doesn't say there isn't a virus, nor have I, but look, I know nothing. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a virologist. But I've always suspected that something is happening. You know, people are getting sick. There's no doubt in my mind that it is, and that it's a pretty nasty strain of whatever it is. Never said there wasn't. So that's presumably what happened in terms of us. As for the London Real channel and the David Icke thing, I don't really have much more to say about that. YouTube say the firm may also prevent repeat offenders from earning money, and said it would terminate channels, but only as a last resort. So a lot of people talking about that today. And David's supporters might be, some of them might be a bit cloth-eared. Not all of them. I'm very fond of David and his books, and I champion the man very often. I give him credit where credit is due, so don't be cloth-eared and pick out little bits of what I said and ignore the rest of it. It isn't very clever to be saying that people have a decision to make when talking about burning down 5G masts. If David Icke agrees with burning down 5G masts, and I don't know if he does or not, and I don't care really, I wouldn't condemn him for that, but you've got to box clever. I personally would not urge anybody to burn anything down. It's not the way. It's not the way to deal with what's going on with 5G. It isn't. You might think it is in the short term, but it isn't. You know, you'll find that they've got the powers that be, whatever they are, have a far bigger stick than you have. And their flamethrowers and petrol bombs are far, far bigger than yours. You know, if you can't get over a mountain, you got to go around it. And as for claims about nanotechnology in the forthcoming vaccine, again, I'm not dismissing that out of hand. I don't know. I certainly have not seen any evidence that will happen. But it's something that I'm open to. And I wouldn't be allowing anybody make those claims on my programme without asking them, did they have any hard evidence? I'm sympathetic with why you think that might happen, but where's the evidence? And I know what David would say. He would point to DARPA, the Pentagon, Regina, all the rest of it, and all the documentation that he's pointed to in his books, and that's good, but you've got to ask the question. So, a lot of you are talking about that today, so I'm talking about it now. To be honest with you, I think, having watched some of it, the presenter who interviewed David is dreadful, absolutely pathetic. You know, I know David goes on and on and on, but jump in. You know, so I say, hang on, the nanotechnology and the vaccine that will come out. Right, I know why you think that, but where's the evidence? It's not that difficult, you know. In my opinion, it's basic journalism. Even if you agree with David, or even if you don't agree but are interested, cover your arse by asking the question. Nurse Ratched, listen to my question. Where's the evidence? That's all you have to do. Don't fret for David. He's got a YouTube channel with nearly 800,000 subscribers and it's monetized and he's doing very well out of it. And good luck to him, I say. Without any tongue in any cheek either. Got a box clever. Can't make claims. Somebody said to me, why aren't you telling people, Richie, that 5G is causing the virus? Because I don't know that it is. Oh, you're a fucking shill, Alan. I knew it. Why? Because I haven't seen any absolute evidence that points to the fact that the 5G transmitters are causing the virus. I'm not saying it isn't happening. You see, that's what sets this program apart from every single other one on planet Earth. I will allow people talk about that. I will provide the space for it, but I can't endorse it because I don't know. I go one further than that. I point out the survey, the study of 200 eminent, preeminent, brilliant scientists who believe that the technology can do things to people, can screw with their immune system and all the rest of it. And I say, there you are. There are people who believe that it's possible, but I can't say that it is happening because I don't know. I would become then Ian Craner, UK column. I would become a liar. I don't know that 5G is causing it, but I don't know that it isn't. Do you understand that? Can you get that through your thick skull? And you know who I'm talking to. I'm not talking to every one of you. You know who I'm talking to, right? Behave yourselves. Behave yourselves. Stop dealing in absolutes. Start using language like it could be argued that, Richie. It could be argued that. You know? Of course, one of the things the London Real presenter could have asked David Icke, and I would have asked him, when David said that 5G is causing the virus, I would have said, interesting, David. Well, in Japan and in Iran, where they are reporting an enormous amount of COVID cases, they don't have any 5G there. What say you? It's not that difficult, is it? Back in a minute with Boris Johnson news. I know you're thrilled. Boris Johnson news. coming up in a minute. This is your Richie Allen Radio Show live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
The Richie Allen Show is live and interactive. All episodes are archived on Podomatic, Spotify, iTunes, and YouTube. For more details, go to richieallen.co.uk.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have one more tune, and when we come back, I've got some very interesting audio for you to hear that was broadcast on Sky News last night. Let's have this. Back with more on your Richie Allen Radio Show. Max Egan later. Live from Australia. It'll be the small hours of the morning there. Rush Hour, Jane Wheedlin on the Richie Allen Radio Show. 26 minutes. Well, it's 25 minutes to the top of the hour. Let's get rid of that. So Boris Johnson is in intensive care, and he was moved to intensive care yesterday afternoon. I don't know. They're saying he's going to be okay. It's more of a precautionary measure. The coverage of it is fairly astonishing. It's unrelenting coverage all afternoon, all morning here in the UK. What was interesting was last night I finished the programme, and it was announced as I was finishing the programme that he was in ICU, the intensive care unit, St. Thomas Hospital, I believe. And immediately upon learning this, Sky News and the BBC got some emergency room doctors on to talk about this. That's an understandable development, isn't it? Right? So immediately upon learning the news, the producers got to work, and the question is to the emergency room doctors, like, what's it like? What sort of care would he get? Give us an idea of what's going on. This is Sky News. Dermot Murnaghan introducing immediately upon hearing that Johnson was in intensive care. Within minutes, this guy was on the air. Listen very carefully.
Very good to talk to you, Dr. Rees. Well, just tell us what may be happening in terms of what you know about the way COVID-19 patients who develop the severe symptoms, as clearly the Prime Minister has, how they are treated short of ventilation when they end up, unfortunately, in an intensive care unit.
Sure, Dermot. So I think it's really important to get some messages across to your viewers in terms of this is a serious disease. And to be quite honest, I don't know how much more has to happen for your viewers to really, or some of your viewers, I should say, the vast majority of people are taking this very, very seriously, but there's still a few that remain to be convinced that if the Prime Minister is on an intensive care unit, albeit not ventilated, which is obviously reassuring, but I think it's really important that members of the public take this incredibly seriously, which we're starting to see now.
Amazing, right? So the guy was brought on and he was asked to talk about what was the situation like, to kind of paint a picture of the ICU facility, the intensive care unit, and the guy got straight into what more needs to happen before people understand that this is a real emergency, the disease is deadly, and so on, so on, so on. I thought that was very interesting indeed. Alrighty? This guy's name is Kishan Rees, as Murnaghan said in his introduction. Let's hear a bit more from him and Dermot Murnaghan.
And Dr. Rees, I mean, it's terrifying, isn't it? And you make that very, very good.
terrifying.
Good point that this really is, well, the most high-profile warning that the nation can get just about how dangerous this is. And, you know, we saw the Prime Minister. He sent a message from Downing Street where he was in self-isolation. He said he still had that that high temperature. No evidence of the shortness of breath, of the coughing. He's had it for about 7 days. It's just how quickly this can turn nasty.
Absolutely, Dermot. And the really scary thing with this is there's a balancing act, right, in terms of we don't want to scare members of the public and we don't want them to panic, because there is the balancing between physical health and mental health. But as you rightly said, this disease affects people in very different ways.
Mm. Kishan Reith, young guy, emergency room doctor, apparently. And the focus of the conversation is not really on what's happening to Johnson, the care he will get, the protocols. It's more on, this is terrifying, it's dreadful, people need to wake up to it. If it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody. Yeah. Do you want to hear a bit more of it? To get down into fake news now.
But it is a powerful warning to how seriously members of the public really must take this. And
yeah, we've got to keep repeating that, because, you know, the public are stupid. Keep telling them, you know, your Prime Minister is in ICU now. You know, the most powerful man in the country, allegedly. If it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody. Stay indoors, stop flouting the rules, and so on.
I think there's an element of distrust in some elements of the media. And
there's a lot of distrust in the UK media for very good reason.
There's this era of fake news, and nobody really wants to believe this.
He's on Sky News Live, and he's talking about fake news. No sense of irony for the young doctor, Kishan Reith.
I've been tracking this since it started in December in Wuhan, and I've spoken to colleagues around the world, and this trail of destruction and, sadly, death has swept around the globe. So members of the public really, really, really need to stay at home, protect the NHS, and ultimately save lives. And if the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, on an intensive care unit, albeit for monitoring at the moment, isn't that powerful warning shot to your viewers, then I honestly, I'm lost for words as to what is.
I got to totally agree with you there, Dr. Reese.
Got to totally agree with you there, says the inveterate, useless, lost with all hands, stupid Dermot Murnaghan, the presenter. Again, it's a little dance going on there. It's supposed to resemble an interview, but it isn't. Both of them know the part that each must play in the conversation. Keep telling people, this is a terrible thing, you've got to do what you're told. The guy was brought on to talk about what was going to happen to Johnson in hospital. This is in the immediate aftermath of the announcement, and it's just absolutely terrible. Let's find out a bit more about young Dr. Kishan Reith. Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Reith, we thank you for that, and in particular hammering home that all-important message.
Thanks for hammering home that all-important message, Dr. Reith. You're doing your job really well. You're not telling people about ICU. You're telling them that they should have the bejesus scared out of them by now. So thanks for hammering home that. Now let's find out a bit more about you.
Just want to ask you, I'm sure people are wondering, a little bit about you and your experience during this pandemic. Where have you been working? What have you seen?
Oh. What's your experience during this pandemic? Where have you been working? And what have you seen, Doctor? Oh.
So I work full-time in the pharmaceutical industry, and I'm not able to comment.
I work full-time in the pharmaceutical industry, and I am not able to comment.
What kind of fuckery is this?
What is this? What kind of fuckery are you? We're Sky News. That's what we are. What are you? We're Sky News. What do you do? Well, we lie like motherfuckers morning, noon and night to the people of the UK. That's what we do. And we get very well paid for it. You're what now? What was that? I'll go on, listen to it again.
And Dr. Reith, we thank you for that, and in particular hammering home that all-important message. I just want to ask you, I'm sure people are wondering, a little bit about you and your experience during this pandemic. Where have you been working? What have you seen?
Sure. So I work full-time in the pharmaceutical industry, and I'm not able to comment.
Oh, Dermot Murnaghan.
You stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard! Jesus Christ, I've met some dumb bastards in my time, but you outdo them all.
I couldn't have put it any better than that, Gene. Ah, well. What does he go on to say then at the very end? This gets better. You think it can't get better than that, right? Oh, it does.
I'm speaking on Sky in my personal capacity as an urgent care doctor and my interest with WhatMed Media.
He works for AstraZeneca.
which is a social media broadcaster. But, you know, I have been tracking it. And one of the reasons that I'm not on the front line is I actually have an autoimmune condition, which would place me in a high-risk group. And ultimately, I'm not willing to chance it in terms of going on the front line without appropriate PPE. I saw you guys did a great segment with Rinesh Palmer on Sophie Ridge on Sunday, where you were shedding light on that vital issue where, yes, there's been supply issues with PPE, but we also are getting doctors on the front line are getting in contact with the Doctors Association, who's their organization. They're getting in touch with WhatMed Media, and we get proper reports on the front line that there's not PPE. So at the moment, I work in a private urgent care center in London, and they took the decision to close on the 15th of March. And if I'm being completely honest with you, there was a little relief in me, in the sense that once I'd committed to the shifts, I was always going to do them, and I wasn't not going to do them, because to me, being a doctor is sticking to your word and doing it. But with my own health condition, the autoimmune disease, I am at high risk of developing that cytokine storm that we talked about. So not on the front line currently, but working in the pharmaceutical industry.
In the pharmaceutical industry.
Pharmaceutical industry.
For AstraZeneca.
Tracking this disease from December, coming out of Wuhan. So I've certainly read up on the literature about it.
15 minutes, quarter to six it is, on the Richie Allen Radio Show, Salford. Live on Fab Radio 2 on fabradiointernational.com, triggerwarning.tv, the TuneIn app, of course, and richieallen.co.uk. Yeah. Moving on. I like Tucker Carlson as a presenter. I think he's a good presenter. God help me. I think Tucker replaced Bill O'Reilly, that obnoxious arsehole. God help him. So last night, Tucker kind of left me a bit red-faced for a minute, because he played a clip from a World Health Organization news conference last week that I missed. And there was a very important part of that press conference that we all need to hear, and I missed it. Now, there's only one of me, and Tucker's got 20 people working for him, of course, national broadcaster and all of that. But I'm annoyed that I didn't catch it, because it's very important. So Tucker Carlson plays a clip from a WHO World Health Organization conference last week, and it's very important. Tucker Carlson on COVID, the virus, and then you'll hear the clip that I mentioned.
So if you've been sick, you know that intensive care is not something that doctors recommend lightly. Boris Johnson is clearly in danger tonight, and that's a bad sign. Johnson is in his mid-50s and hale enough to lead a country. If this can happen to him, a lot of us should be worried. And we are worried, worried enough to endure things that just a month ago would have seemed preposterous. Last week, Dr. Michael Ryan, he's a leader at the World Health Organization, announced that in response to the spread of this virus, authorities may have to enter people's homes and remove family members, presumably by force.
In most parts of the world, due to lockdown, most of the transmission that's actually happening in many countries now is happening in the household, at family level. In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
Just so you know, we're coming to your house, seizing your children and, quote, isolating them in a safe and dignified manner, whatever that means.
And he's not being disingenuous there, Tucker Carlson. That's exactly what the guy said. The guy is Michael Ryan from Sligo in Ireland, and he is the infectious diseases guy at the World Health Organization. That's exactly what he said there. We should be able to enter the home and remove anybody that we suspect of carrying the virus. I know. Not a whisper from your media. Crazy, huh? Then Eric Garcetti, I hope I pronounced that right, he's the mayor of Los Angeles, the City of Angels, and over the weekend, Eric Garcetti said that we need to prepare for many lockdowns. Now, I played this audio from the US because that aligns with much of what we're hearing in the UK today, because basically Sky and the BBC, every time they've got somebody on who's got any medical background, they are saying that the lockdown, which is due to end next week, won't end next week, and we might see more than one lockdown. Might be a bit of an easing up of it, then it might be clamped down again and all the rest of it. Here is Eric Gicchetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, and then you'll hear Tucker Carlson again.
Now, that's not something that under normal circumstances officials casually drop during briefings. It's the kind of statement that might trigger violence. People don't respond well when you threaten to take their kids. But Ryan said it like it was no big deal, and that's how the media treated it. His threat didn't make headlines in any of the major newspapers in this country. That's the kind of moment we're in. So how long will this moment last? Well, on Friday, Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, predicted that the first in a series of lockdowns will go on until June.
One of the things that just concerns me, it's not one of those immediate concerns, but is, you know, this draws out through the summer and then the cold weather comes around and then there's another wave of it. How do you, as a leader, how do you think about this?
Early on when people said, is this just going to be a few days or a couple weeks? I said, no, I think it's at least 2 months. And I said, if we're successful in this, we can expect a second spike in the late fall or early winter. That's how viruses work. We better steel ourselves for a second and maybe even third round of this. But we also need to be nimble enough to know we're not going to flip a switch one day and turn the economy back on.
A quote, second and maybe even third round of lockdowns. That's a long time.
Yes. Apologies for my poor editing there, but you got the message. Yeah. You heard Garcetti there, or Garcetti. Then he says something staggering. Because we've talked about snitching here, haven't we? We've worried about this new reality where people might phone their local police station and report on their neighbour saying things like, hey, my neighbour, he's gone out 5 times today, or I think he's walked the dogs 3 times. This culture, a lot of people talking about that here. But when they're talking about it here, it pales really by comparison to what the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, says. Listen to what he says. You think you're in a police state. Or you think that somebody who says we're in a police state is exaggerating and needs to take their tinfoil hat off and throw it away. Listen to this.
If you've observed recurring violations of the Safer at Home order, please continue to let us know at coronavirus.lacity.org/business-violation. You know the old expression about snitches? Well, in this case, snitches get rewards. We want to thank you for turning folks in and making sure we are all safe.
Imagine that. Snitches get stitches is what he was referring to. But then he said, we've turned that around, snitches get riches. What does he mean by that? They're encouraging people to telephone the police in Los Angeles and promising them that if their tip leads to an arrest, that they'll be financially compensated for that. I mean, what? Tucker Carlson then talks about the economic impact of this, and it's very interesting. Alrighty, I'm not endorsing Tucker Carlson as a man or his positions generally. I'm endorsing nothing. I just find it very helpful the way he puts together in the next little segment what's going to happen to the economy. It's good. Listen to this.
So you just saw the mayor of our second biggest city offering to pay citizens to snitch on their neighbors for, among other things, daring to go to work. Working is one activity we've decided should not be allowed. Jogging, fishing, golf, fine. Being employed, a massive threat to public health. We've decided that offices are somehow more dangerous than supermarkets, far more dangerous, though no one has to date bothered to explain how. The result of this? By some estimates, more than 17 million Americans are unemployed right now. That's the highest number in the history of this country. A year from now, and we should think about this, how will all of us feel about the decisions we've made in the face of this pandemic? Is there a single person who sincerely expects the coronavirus itself will hurt more people in the end than the damage we're causing in our response to it? Probably not. Mass unemployment is almost certain to cause far more harm, including physical harm, to the average family than this disease. In 1967, two psychiatric researchers decided to rank traumatic life events in order of how profoundly they affected people's health. Stress can kill you, we know that, and they wanted to determine which kinds of stress were the most dangerous. The doctors found that losing a job ranked high on the list of health-degrading traumas. Joblessness came in well above death of a close friend, to put it in some perspective. If you ever found yourself unemployed with dependents to take care of, you understand this. Unfortunately, many of our policymakers don't understand. They've never been in that position. They never will be. Our professional class doesn't have much interest in middle-class job loss or its consequences. We know that because they've essentially ignored it for decades, not to mention the family disintegration and the drug epidemics it has spawned. So far, about 10,000 Americans have died from the Wuhan coronavirus. That number will rise, and it will likely include people you know. That's a tragedy. But it's not the only tragedy in progress in this country. In 2018, more than 67,000 Americans died of drug overdoses. The year before, more than 70,000 died. That's more than the entire population of the towns most of us grew up in. And those totals are far lower than the real number, according to people who study the question. The drug epidemic has permanently changed the demographics of this country, but for some reason, CNN has not kept a running tally of drug casualties on the screen. Why is that? Well, you know why. It's not their peer group. It doesn't seem real. They're not that interested. And the same thing is going on now. If the coronavirus shutdown was crushing college administrators or nonprofit executives or green energy lobbyists, it would have ended last week. Instead, it's mainly service workers and small business owners who have been hurt. And they're not on television talking about what they're going through. You need to look closely to see their suffering.
Yeah, and the suffering, I think, is going to be unimaginable. I know I've said this a few times so far this week and Sunday, and I know I said it last week as well. I don't think many people have got the imagination to have any inkling of what's coming down the line in terms of hardship and economic deprivation and ultimately then austerity. And maybe I know we've seen some big wealth transfers over the years after manufactured economic crashes, but I think what's coming down the line because of this, I think it's, I struggle to put it into words, to be honest. And Carson is right there. Listen, there is a little bit of news. As you know, the UK government gives a daily briefing to the press here about the latest, or gives them the latest information, the latest statistics around the coronavirus and the cases. And Sir Patrick Vallance, he is the government's chief scientific advisor. And he was he stood alongside Dominic Raab, who's standing in for Boris Johnson while Boris Johnson is convalescing. And Patrick Vallance, the chief scientific advisor to the government, has said today that the number of coronavirus cases here could be moving in the right direction. He said it was possible that we're beginning to see the curve flattening. However, he said it might be another week or so before he could be sure and be definite about that. Okay, that's the only real news, apart from Dominic Raab saying that Boris Johnson, who is in intensive care, is in fact in good spirits and is stable. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester. I am Richie Allen. Hope you're well if you're just joining the programme. We should be joined momentarily by Max Egan, who's in Australia, where it's very, very early Wednesday morning. Oh, yeah. There's cliche number three right there. Oh, yeah. There's Curtis Mayfield, Move On Up on your Richie Allen Show. That is Curtis Mayfield. That's Rush Hour music. There isn't any Rush Hour. Because the streets of Salford, the streets of Manchester, Regent Road, Liverpool Street, Eccles, New Road, empty, deserted, because nothing is happening. Because the economy hasn't slowed to a snail's pace. It's stopped. Right. I'm thrilled that my next guest, who's a great friend of mine and a great friend of yours, has gotten up at around, well, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning where he is in Australia. I won't waste much of our time giving you his resume. You know, he's an artist, he's a public speaker, he's a researcher, a reporter, a broadcaster, a very charitable man. I've known him for, well, about 7-8 years since I was in London making television programmes with The People's Voice. There aren't too many people whose time I enjoy spending, There aren't too many more people I enjoy spending time with than him. Let's welcome back to the programme our friend Max Egan. Max, thanks for getting up out of bed, mate. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. It's not too bad. I mean, I get up early anyway, so it's only really an hour early, so all good. Nice to be here again.
Thanks, man. I felt a bit guilty because earlier on I said, look, we'll do a pre-record, and obviously prime time for you, everybody's online, it's difficult, but also you're a bit like me, I think, in a sense that live is kind of where you live. It's great to be doing live radio because people can interact while we're chatting and have their say and everything. I've just spent about 40 minutes or thereabouts reporting on what's been happening, and I've been having a lot to say. It's time I shut up and left you speak. What's happening, mate? We're over 2 weeks or nearly 2 weeks into a lockdown here. Mentioned the economy. Censorship is everywhere at the moment. People are being shut down in various places. Twitter, YouTube, Google. People asking questions about the virus, about the reality of the virus. How have you read it? I know you, one of the great things about you, you take a bit of a back step and have a look at it, kind of dispassionately. Over to you. How have you read what's been happening in the last few weeks?
Oh, look, it's crazy, Richie. It's crazy. I mean, this is the big event we've been waiting for, and it's not going to go away. That's what people have to understand. This is not a temporary measure that they've taken. You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, when we get out of lockdown, and, you know, you're not coming out of lockdown. You're not going to come out of lockdown without what's Bill Gates calling it, a immunity passport,
yeah,
that they're talking about now. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, and it's everywhere. It's the entire world. You got 3 to 4 billion people on lockdown, like under house arrest, essentially, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't know what will happen if people don't rise up. I mean, that's really the only way out of this, is for people to break the lockdown, get out on the streets, start mingling with each other, but they're too scared. And with what they're doing to the internet, it's very hard to even get information out to people to organize any type of a mass gathering to stand in solidarity against this. It's a very, very tricky situation, Richie, and they brought it down so quickly.
Like,
so incredibly quickly. I mean, we knew they would when it happened. We knew it would be quick, but it was a bit of a surprise for everybody. But as we said, you know, 2020 vision, mate. We're going to see what's happening in 2020, and boy, did we see what's happening. And it's just continuing to happen. Like every country, Mexico even, is in lockdown now. I saw a video with Jeff Berwick yesterday, and they're actually stopping him and taking his temperature as he's driving home. You know, good thing he's not doesn't have a temperature. They might have taken him away to quarantine or something.
Who knows where he'd end up. Yeah. Do you know, it's interesting you say that. We were playing a clip from the Tucker Carlson show just before you came on, and the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Gassetti, was talking about, you talk about the police getting involved. He's been basically promising people rewards if they phone the police in Los Angeles and spill the beans on their neighbours. You mentioned the temperature checks. Until my better half, Caroline, was told by her company to work from home. She works for a very, very, very massive company. And she was having her temperature taken when she was coming in and out. So let's stay just for a minute. We've got as much time as you want, of course. It's your time that we're encroaching on, so you call the shots here. We've got plenty of time. Let's for a moment stay with that public acquiescence. Now, you've been around a long time, and you've been reporting on these issues and philosophizing around them and predicting these things for a long time. Even you, was somebody like you even a bit taken aback by how the public succumbed to it and agreed to the lockdown?
Yeah, it's really surprising to see how many people are acquiescing to it, how many people are in fear. I was up in the rainforest the other day. There's a couple of old ladies walking past me with face masks on in the rainforest, you know. and it's ridiculous. You go into a shop and people go, oh, no, stay back there, stay 1.5 metres away from me, you know. And I say to them, well, you know this is fake, don't you? You know you can't catch viruses. Viruses aren't alive. You know, if you really look up the nature of viruses, they're not what they tell you that they are. There's actually an excellent interview that I'll mention now. And this guy, you should try to get him on your show, Richie. His name is Dr. Andrew Kaufman. And he has put out some of the most excellent reports on what's really going on here, on the nature of bacteria. And, you know, he's a doctor and he knows what he's talking about. And he's identified the so-called coronavirus as simply being exosomes, which are produced naturally in our body. They've kind of relabeled exosomes in our body, and they've created a pandemic that everybody is going to test positive for. And it's also, these exosomes are created through things like stress. So, you know, how many people are stressed at the moment? Yeah, it's remarkable how they've done it. But I highly recommend people check him out, Dr. Andrew Kaufman.
Andrew Kaufman, can I just jump in and ask you this? Look, you know that I don't cover my arse because I'm not working for anybody. I'm completely independent, and I'm very proud of that. There isn't anybody I've got to, you know, go and doff my cap to later on. But you say there that there are doctors, and I've seen them online. I know there are doctors who have qualified in various universities, and they say you can't catch viruses. The problem we have is there is 100,000 doctors on national and commercial media today around the world who say the opposite. Now, when you said there you can't catch viruses, much as you and I know each other and I love you, I know a lot of people listening to this will go, but that's just bollocks. Why are so many other doctors saying that viruses are highly, highly infectious? And why should we believe Max and his doctor, or Richie Allen and his doctor, when all these other doctors say it is? And you know damn well, mate, you're far further down the road than I am in making these programmes. You know that that is an insurmountable object. There are millions of doctors, and I don't think they're all shills, and they believe that viruses are communicable and are infectious, right?
Well, it's because of their education, Richie. See, they don't know. They just go with what they're told. But you've got to look back at where it all came from. Look at the development of even germ theory, where they came up with the idea that the germs and microbes were what were causing illness. This is just a theory. I mean, and they said, oh, well, okay, we've got that. And then they went from there, you know. So, I mean, when you start really looking into the medical industry and the medical profession, a lot of it is theory, and kids are just taught what's in the books, and they just go what's in the books. Yeah. You go to a modern doctor, most of them don't even examine you. They just look at a computer screen. And I'm like, well, hang on, what's the program you're using? I could download that program onto my own computer, then I don't have to come to the doctor, because if that's all you're going to do, I mean, what sort of a doctor are you? You know, but you've got to look at the basis of germ theory and the concept of what viruses are. Viruses are actually secreted by cells that become toxic, and the viruses actually work to eat the toxins from the cells, take the toxins from the cells. Sure, you can get a viral overload and you can get sick. You can die from a virus, but the virus is produced in your stomach. It doesn't, if you get a stomach virus or a kidney virus or a liver virus, it doesn't even go between organs. So how can you transfer it to another person? How can you transfer it from another species? You can't. They're not alive. It's not like a bacteria, which is alive. You can transfer that. A disease is alive. You can transfer that. But a virus is something. I mean, even the name virus, they just started saying, well, that's what they are and this is what they do. But they don't know. They absolutely don't know. And when you look at what they're identifying as COVID-19 in people, it's exactly the same as an exosome. I mean, and these exosomes are produced naturally in your body. And you can't tell the difference between these things. So does COVID-19 actually exist, or are they simply relabeling exosomes? That's the problem. So you've really got to start looking at it. And he's risking his whole career in coming out and saying this. But he's looking at it and just going, well, look, honestly, as a doctor, none of this actually adds up. And too many people are just scared of peer group pressure and just doing what they're told, and they just believe what they're told. It's like half of the politicians, you can't blame them and think they're corrupt. They're just idiots. They're doing what they're told.
You make a very good point. You make a very good point. The most important point you make here is when you've got a system guy, and this is very important because Kaufman is a system guy and he's system trained and he's offering this opinion about viruses. I agree with you. He should be heard. And I haven't done the research into what he's been saying that you've obviously done. I will certainly look into it. And it's unfair maybe to ask you this because you're not a clinician, even though you are, you're an excellent researcher to your credit. I'll give you that much. I'll give you a lot more than that, but you are a very good researcher. So look, in late winter, when you're surrounded by, say, two or three people max in an enclosed environment in the call centre or in the factory you work in, and they get the flu, and we know what the flu is, and then you get it as well. Somebody listening to this might say, okay, Kaufman is a doctor and he's entitled to his opinion, but look, this must be living proof that viruses are communicable. The flu is communicable. It is a virus. And if I go to my enclosed workspace and everybody gets sick, I get it as well. How can he explain that away?
Well, your body reacts to its environment, and that's what happens. And if these flus are a detox that people are having around you, your body might decide that it needs a detox as well. That's the way it works. I really highly recommend you get this guy on to have a chat to him, Richie. He's an amazing guy. Now, the interviews that I've heard with him have absolutely been mind-blowing.
Definitely.
But if you really look at it, I mean, they did tests. They collected stuff from people's throats. They got the snot out of their nose and they put it into other people. They even got horses where they put plastic bags over their heads and had them sneeze into a plastic bag and then put it over the head of another horse trying to transfer the flu, and they couldn't transfer it. They even question whether there's actually such a thing as a contagion, because most of these things seem to be produced in our body, and they very often are triggered by the environment that we're in. If there's a lot of other people around us doing a detox, our body may decide that it's time to do a detox as well. Or if you've done a detox recently, it won't. That's why you don't have everybody get sick in these situations. You might have a room of 30 people. You might find that 10 of them get sick, the other 20 don't, or even 20 of them get sick, but the other 10 don't. So why? You might have a couple, one gets sick and the other one doesn't. Why? Because they're not communicable. They're not produced by germs and bacteria. They're produced by what we put into our body, and our body needs to have a detox, and it comes out as a flu. And when you look at the flus, there's another doctor called Dr. Thomas Cowan, who has positively identified that when we had the Spanish flu in 1918, it was when they turned on radio. Then we had another major pandemic flu outbreak in the 1940s, which was when they turned on radar. Then we had another one in 1968 when they launched satellites into the atmosphere. And now we're having another one in 2020 when they're switching on 5G.
Can I jump in there just for a sec? We've known each other for years. Let me just jump in. Because I'm a totally open-minded guy, and I only do this program, I only do it to listen to guys like you, because I love listening to guys like you. That's a fact. And not just you, but everybody else that comes on. It's the greatest thing in the world to sit here and listen to people like you. I could listen to you all day long. And I'm not stupid enough to dismiss the notion that 5G might be having some effect. And I'll tell you why, because I've read the report of the 200 scientists from 2017. All of them, again, system men, and they went into great detail about the cellular effects in the human body that the 5G could have, and the autoimmune, and I get all that. I think, and I'm not including you in this at all, not you at all, but I think some in the independent media, they don't do any service to the independent media. They run out there and they say 5G, 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 and then they get tripped up. It's like David. Now, you love David. I love David. David's on television yesterday talking about 5G, and it's definitely 5G. And the BBC have embarrassed David today by saying, well, not really, David, because we're seeing coronavirus in Iran and Japan and plenty of other places where there is no 5G. And I can be convinced. I've had Chris Busby on this show, one of the greatest minds in the field of non-ionising radiation, and he says, yes, the effects on the body, it can bring about illnesses in the body that maybe people wouldn't have originally thought or wouldn't have imagined. But at the same time, to have so many people saying, yes, it's definitely 5G, I think they're jumping the shark a bit. And I think maybe, while I think, I keep an open mind to everything, it might be possible, surely we can't say definitively it must be 5G. What do you say?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not saying definitively that it is.
Yeah.
But that there's a good indication of it. And even with the figures coming out of Iran and Japan and places like this, I mean, I question them all. I honestly don't believe anything the media tells me anymore, Richie. I just, like, nothing. I don't believe a word of it. So I even question those figures, even the figures coming out of Italy, the figures. I question them. I wonder whether they're actually dying of coronavirus or whether they're just relabeling them as other things. No one seems to be dying of anything else anymore.
Yeah.
Have you noticed? There's no heart attacks in the obituary columns. There's no. It doesn't matter what you die of. It seems to be that everyone's only dying of coronavirus. What's that all about, So what are these numbers? Who's actually counting all these people? Who's doing all the tests? If there's no actual test for COVID-19, there's only a test for genetic material, and there's only tests for coronavirus, which takes multiple forms, then who's doing all these COVID-19 tests and tallying up all these figures? Or are they just relabeling everybody as COVID-19?
That's a great point, because we saw a famous comedian in this country with very serious heart issues. I think he was mentioned in that interview that David did with London Real. I think David brought him up. It's a very good point David made. I've made the point as well last week. We're talking about Eddie Large. They said he died of coronavirus. And then later on they said, after contracting coronavirus, you're making an excellent point here. This is very important.
Yeah, after that's the way they're doing it. After testing positive for coronavirus, you know, such and such died after testing positive for coronavirus. It doesn't say he died of coronavirus.
That's right.
He died after testing positive. He was testing positive. Oh, so we stopped treating him for anything else because we figured he had this genetic material, so he's going to die anyway, so we just let him die.
Just let him die, that's right. Max Egan is live on the line and is going to stay with us till the top of the hour. Thanks, thank God for him coming on to talk to us today from Australia, getting up in the small hours of the morning there. I know there's a massive reaction to this on Twitter. I know there is, but I can't read tweets for I don't know how long because we're not allowed onto Twitter after recommending that people go out in the sunshine. They don't like that very much. Plenty to get through with Max. Now, I've been asked, one of the things when I mentioned you were coming on, one of the things I was asked to put to you was this incredible video by this very charismatic and presentable man called Dr. Cameron Kyle Seidel, who's a New York City emergency medicine doctor. And he did this extraordinary thing, didn't he, Max? He went on his YouTube channel over the weekend and he talked about coronavirus and he said what they are treating isn't coronavirus. He said the intubation of people and the ventilators they are using on people are actually harming people because I'm seeing something in the lungs that I've never ever seen before in my life, he said. It's almost as if people were dropped out of an aeroplane onto the top of Mount Everest. It looks like altitude sickness. It's absolutely devastating. And by giving him ventilators, that we're doing a terrible thing. And that is why I keep my mind open so that when somebody like you raises the possibility of the radiation, the EMF, the pulses from 5G, I'm prepared to say I'm absolutely open-minded to that. And when he was doing that, I thought, wow, what is it that he's describing and how could a person feel like that? How could you suddenly come down with that sort of illness? What did you make of what he said, Cameron Kyle Seidel?
Well, very, very interesting. And again, you know, what he was describing was the effects of 60 gigahertz on people. So, I mean, whether there are those sorts of transmitters around, I don't know. But what would be causing this in people, I don't know. But that's what he was describing. I mean, if you hit someone with a 60 gigahertz waves and it deprives them of oxygen, that's what you get. So, you know, I've got a question. I mean, even the people in Iran, were they on an aircraft? Were they on a boat? Were they on a ship? What was the environment were they in? Yeah. How do we know that they weren't subject to these radio waves? I mean, how do we know?
We don't is the answer. We don't. To be fair, to be absolutely fair and honest, we don't. And, you know, I don't know about Italy. It seems Sky News is running these films they've made. They're very well-produced films with very scary music. And they show people in Italy, you've probably seen them, Max, wearing these plastic helmets. They look like, it looks like something from the film E.T. at the very end of the film. And these Italian patients look like they're really struggling to breathe. And I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at the condition of those Italian patients. And as I'm looking at it, I'm hearing Dr. Cameron Kyle Seidel in my head. And I'm wondering the same thing you're wondering. You know, are there transmitters? And it's a mind.
Well,
there are
in Milan. There's 5G going in Milan, so it could well be that in Milan. We just don't know what's going on in Japan and what's going on in Iran. I mean, all we know is what we're being told by the media. We've got no one on the ground there to actually fill us in, you know?
You just don't know. And it's the same in this country as well. Let's get to...
But the thing is, Richie, how much have they locked the world down? I mean, here in Australia, we've got 20 people died of coronavirus, apparently. That's what they're saying. I don't know how they're doing the test, but they're claiming 20 people died. It might be 23 by now or something. But yeah, they've locked the whole country down over 23 deaths. I mean, are you serious? It's ridiculous. And something that really offended me was last week that when they said, oh, we had 20 people die today of coronavirus. That day, there was also announced that there were 21 people that have died of suicide, that have committed suicide in the country that day as a result of the lockdown. So on that day, when 20 people were declared dead, the rate of suicide as a result of the lockdown actually exceeded the amount of deaths from alleged COVID-19. And that really stuck in my mind, you know, the steps the government is taking. This is terrorism. What our governments and media are doing is terrorism. They should all face charges of terrorism.
Stay with that. Stay with the economic impact of it. We, again, just to mention Carlson's Fox News program, he talked in those terms, actually, very similar to how you spoke there about, you know, the health, the negative health effects of being locked down. And then he kind of segued into talking about how it's going to impact on people's lives going forward. I can only imagine, you know, that as I see it, and what do I know? I'm just a guy with an opinion like everybody else. Opinions are like assholes, as they say. We've all got one. But I look and I think that the economic deprivation and the austerity that might be forced on us later on to pay back the banks for bailing us out might be something that might make the 2008 crash and subsequent problems look maybe like a walk in the park. How do you see the economic impact of this in the next couple of years?
It's the worst economic disaster we've ever had in the history of economics. This is going to make the 1930s depression look like a picnic. So many people are going to lose everything, and it's never going to go back. Even if they switched everything on now, there is no way the economy could recover from what's being done. And we're not seeing it yet. We're not seeing it. I mean, we've seen prices virtually double around the place. I don't know if that's happened in England, but I went to the shop yesterday. I noticed that everything was like a dollar dearer than what it was. Everything virtually seems to have doubled. You know, the government has doubled everybody's unemployment benefits and given them huge handouts, all these stimulus packages, which is just going to lead to hyperinflation. Trump's talking about, what, a $3 trillion stimulus package? Is it $3 trillion now, or $2 trillion, or $4 trillion? I mean, you kind of lose count with these numbers this large. But this is just, you're virtually, there's only $3 trillion in the whole U.S. economy, and they're going to just pump $3 trillion into it. They're going to double the money supply, which means they're going to double the price of everything. So everyone thinks, oh, it's great, he's given us all this money, only that thing that cost a dollar yesterday costs $3 now. So, you know, it's just going to lead to hyperinflation, and we're not going to recover. We're heading for a Hunger Games type society, Richie, where people who accept the vaccine will be able to come into the smart cities. People who don't accept the vaccine will be left out there to fend for themselves, cut off from absolutely everything. That's what they intend to do. And that's where it's going to go. This is nothing's going to go back. This is not going to change. This isn't going to be a temporary thing. People say, oh, when we get to the other side of COVID-19, there's not going to be another side to it. It's coronavirus. They can say, oh, it's mutated. Oh, it's mutated. It's mutated. It'll be like the war on terror. It'll never go away because coronaviruses are the common flu. We get them every year. And once they label that as a pandemic and they can convince people that the seasonal flu is a pandemic, then we're screwed. I mean, and they can just keep it going. And all they need is the media to tell you that all these people are dying. All these people are dying in Iran. All these people are dying in Japan. All these people are dying in Milan. Look at Milan. It's one of the most polluted cities on earth. It has double the death toll of any other city in Italy. Yeah, and that's where they pick. And that's where they switched on 5G as well. So, you know, you've got to wonder about it all, Richie. But we're not going to recover. This is, you know, people are going to lose everything through this. You know, and they're not going to come back. So pretty soon you'll be able to buy a hotel for a gold coin. You give it a couple of years, you know, because nothing's going to be worth anything. The dollar is gone. The pound is gone. Nothing can recover from what they've done here. To shut down global trade, I mean, I'd be surprised if even the airlines come back online. You know, there'll be very, very few travelers after this, very, very few carriers. I'm lucky I got to travel at the time when I did because it's looking, people aren't even going to want to have foreigners coming to their shores anymore. I mean, the situation in Peru, I thought Peru would have been a safe place to go. Peru is under such severe lockdown at the moment. If you're a white person and you're trapped in Peru, it's incredibly difficult just to get out of whatever town you might be in. You're locked in quarantine. You can't come out after 4 o'clock in the afternoon under pain of jail. If they catch you, you go to jail. You've got to get passes and massive checkpoints to get anywhere. There's one woman I was looking at. She's got a 1,250-kilometer journey back to Lima by road, wow, going through about 100 checkpoints on the way just so she can try to get a flight out of the country, you know. So it's been incredible. And even Mexico, Bali, Indonesia, Malaysia, Ecuador, I mean, you name it. It's ridiculous, Richie. The whole world has been shut down over this thing. And there is no evidence to support the fact that it's even what they say at all. And even when you look at it as a so-called pandemic, we have more people die in car accidents, more people die from heart attacks, more people die from the seasonal flu than what we've had from this so-called pandemic.
Absolutely. A point made by many of the alt-right. Now, not, you don't fit any category. I'm a socialist, but I'm going to give some of the alt-right media a little bit of credit, you know, some of the more savvy alt-right commentators, because they're making this point. Max Egan is our guest. While Max is here, just to go back briefly to 5G, this video will be deleted on YouTube later on, I have no doubt. Well, they've announced YouTube that they will delete any video that's discussing 5G as a possible cause for this. Now, Max Egan, as you'd expect of a researcher and a reporter of his ilk, is not saying that 5G has caused this. I'm not either. In fact, I've been hammered by some of my listeners for being a little bit sceptical about the notion, even though I've interviewed many men and women, and I agree that 5G is a very dangerous thing. So while we have Max, let me just read this, because I'm getting emails now from people whom they don't often listen to the Richie Allen radio show. They don't spend too much time watching davidicke.com. They don't spend too much time at the Crow House with Max. They get their news from the BBC. And they're saying to me, and they're doing it all day long, by the way, that it's ridiculous, stupid, foolish 5G and all that. Let me just read you this. This is true. And then I'll shut up then, and Max can come back in. He can have the floor again for as long as he wants. The paper I alluded to was published in September of 2017. 220 scientists and doctors, all of them establishment, qualified from some of the world's most famous universities, recommended a moratorium on 5G. And they were explicit in the publication in terms of their belief that this could be devastating in terms of the health impact it could have on human beings. And I want to read this for you very briefly. They believe that the effects of 5G, particularly because of the necessity to have so many transmitters, one for every 12 houses, they said it affects living organisms at levels well below most international and national guidelines. The effects include increased cancer risk, cellular stress, increase in harmful free radicals, genetic damages, structural and functional changes of the reproductive system, learning and memory deficits, and neurological disorders. Now, if those scientists are just as qualified as the guys you're hearing on Sky News, and if they have a point, surely neurological disorders, memory deficits, reproductive system, genetic damages, cellular damage, why couldn't cellular damage or genetic damage, why could that not lead you to be gasping for your effing breath till the point that you're going blue in the face? You can't tell me it is impossible. But yet, neither I nor Max Egan are saying that 5G is doing it. What we are saying, and what I'm saying anyway, I won't put words in Max's mouth, is how could you possibly rule it out based on what these guys are saying? Right, over to you. Sorry, mate. Go ahead.
Exactly, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, the government is saying there's no conclusive studies that show. They always use these words, no conclusive studies. You know, what is a conclusive study? You know, when you're looking at a theory of anything, it's never really conclusive, is it? I mean, you know, you can get it. You can get a pretty good idea, but you know, unless you can see a direct correlation. So, you know, they do it in the wording, Richie. And like you say, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of doctors who are speaking out about it. I think there's something like 20,000 doctors that are speaking out against 5G. So how can you possibly rule it out?
Yeah.
And like I said, in Japan and Iran, we don't know. We don't know what area they're in. We don't know what they've been subject to. We just don't know. We don't even know whether the numbers are true. We don't know whether it's being fudged just so they can get support from over. So we don't know. We just don't know. So, you know, you can't possibly rule it out. And like I said, I'm not saying that it is true. I'm not saying that I mean, when people put out videos like 5G apocalypse and, you know, everyone's going to die when they turn on 5G, I thought this was very irresponsible for people to put out videos such as that and create that sort of fear and panic in people. So, because when they do switch 5G on and everyone doesn't drop like a stone, well, everyone's going to think, oh, we're just all conspiracy theorists.
Exactly. Yeah,
but then, you know, you've got to wonder, because now they've switched it on in certain places, people are dropping like stones. So, you know, there may well be some correlation. You can't possibly rule it out, especially not simply because the media and government tells you to. And what I've noticed is that they will have hit pieces. I mean, I published a video a couple of weeks ago of a guy called Tom Barnett from Australia here, And he was saying how you cannot catch a virus. And I published it on YouTube. It got 270,000 views in one day, 6,500 comments, and then YouTube deleted it. And then there was a hit piece in the news the next day about this terrible anti-vaxxer from Mullumbimby and what he was saying. Same when I put out my five videos, you know, they attacked me, and then they put a hit piece in the paper to say, oh, no, you can't do this. And this guy's all completely wrong. He's a conspiracy theorist. And now there's articles in the paper saying that, oh, look, there's all these conspiracy theorists saying 5G is related to you know, coronavirus, and this isn't the case. And so, I mean, I tend to believe the opposite of what the media tells me. And when I see them putting hit pieces like that in the news to tell people that, no, 5G is definitely not responsible, to me, that gives credence to the idea that it actually is responsible, you know, because I just don't believe what they say. And they don't put these articles out unless they need to do them for damage control, you know.
Of course. And just go back, I want to go back to something I said about David Icke earlier on, because some of David's followers will be very precious, and they will be annoyed at what they think is me having a pop at him. I lived with David. I worked with him for years. I love the guy, and I'm a great champion of everything he's ever done. I earned the right to criticise him. David's response to the guy on London Real was unbecoming of David. It was stupid to blame this on 5G. He should have said what I said. He should have said, look at that report. Those scientists believe that exposure to the waves could cause catastrophe inside the body. So you can't rule it out. He shouldn't have said definitively it is, because that is not, it's not kosher. It's just not the way to do it. That's my only criticism of him. He should know better than that. He's a journalist, David Icke, first and foremost. He shouldn't be so definitive in saying it is, because he can't prove it. But you will open people's minds maybe by saying, well, you know, I don't know that it is. But when these scientists published this paper, they said that it could just turn the body inside out. And if the body is turned inside out, well, holy cow, maybe one of the side effects might be that you might be on your fucking back, sorry for swearing, Max, gasping for breath. So why doesn't David speak in those terms? Anyways, who cares?
Well, it could be. I've got to say, too, with that interview with David on London Real, I think David has been on fire lately. He has absolutely been on fire. Some of the reports he's been putting out have been must-watch viewing. I highly recommended people watch that London Real interview. It got deleted within like a minute of it being posted, I think.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Which is shocking. We condemn that, of course. It's dreadful to see that happen, of course.
And then a shorter version got published of it as well, and then that was deleted as well. But I believe it is still available, and I think people need to find that interview and they need to share it, I think. David has really come into his own with what's going on. Like, he's been talking about this for years, and now we're there. We're right there at the gate, and he's right there out there on the front line. He's put himself right out there. And I think the reports he's been putting out lately are outstanding, and people should absolutely, definitely share them. I mean, there might be some, yes, a few positives. Maybe you think he shouldn't have stated it so positive, but whatever, you know, the information he's been sharing on those last couple of reports he's put out is outstanding and should be in every household. You need to play it to your family, find that interview, play it to your family. If they won't listen to it, then pay them to listen to it. Give them £5 and tell them to sit down and listen to this interview.
Bribe them. Know? Here's the fiver, have a listen to that. Yeah, look, ultimately, my only disagreement with that is that ultimately you're trying to reach people who ordinarily wouldn't pay you a blind bit of attention. And I would take issue with anybody, not just that comment that he made there. And I agree with you, the work is outstanding. I'm the biggest champion of it. I have been for many years. I'm one of the first guys to give him a regular platform on a commercial radio station back in the Talk Radio Europe days, and would always do that. But I think if you're in the business of trying to get Joe and Josephine Soap, who are hiding under their effing beds at the moment in terror, you've got to box a bit more clever than just telling them it's 5G. Because they immediately go, ah, tinfoil hat-wearing Muppet. You know?
Yeah.
And that's my only point with that. And I would say it to his face. In fact, I have done in the past. So moving on from that, I'm very, very pessimistic in my outlook. Meaning, I think we're screwed, Max. Because not enough people, because of the lives they lead, because of the pressures they're under, not enough people, even if they're starting to get an inkling of it, not enough of them will ever come to the understanding of what's going on and then be in a state of preparation to do something about it. So I ultimately believe And I'm not trying to, you know, piss you off. You've gotten up. It's 20 to 4 in the morning there where you are. But I think no matter what happens, they're going to win, Max. I really do.
Well, you know, we're pretty screwed in a lot of ways. But in many ways, it's also a huge opportunity because people are going to lose everything through this. They're going to lose everything. Yeah. And there's a, you know, as the saying goes, you know, when you lose everything, you become truly free when you have nothing to lose. And a man with nothing to lose is a very, very dangerous person. And very soon you're going to have millions and millions of people on this earth with absolutely nothing to lose. And, you know, there's going to, when that happens, when people's backs are really to the wall and they're staring down into the puddle of their existence, you're going to find that they're going to snap. A lot of people are going to snap. And when that happens, you know, it's anybody's guess. No one will survive what is coming. Even the elite won't survive what's coming if it gets to that point. So, you know, we always knew it was coming, Richie, and I have no stake in the outcome of this existence. I never have. If they come for me, well, I'll be pushing back. I won't be going with them. I won't be taking their vaccine. I won't be doing anything they say, and I won't be going to their jail either. So it'll just be a matter of who comes out on top from that confrontation. And that's going to happen for a lot of people. A lot of people are not going to go quietly. And, a lot of the stuff that we think we have, the stuff that we measure our lives by, is completely irrelevant anyway. You know, we think because we've got a big front door, we've got a house, we've got all these stupid possessions that we think are real. Yeah. I mean, I've often questioned why all of our society is prefab. It's all temporary accommodation. Why don't we build anything to last? It's so obvious that this is a temporary society that was just going to be wiped out. I mean, this has been obvious to me since I was a kid. I've been looking around thinking, what the hell is this place? Why do we do anything the way we do? You know, and even when I was in England, when I was speaking with Ian Crane a couple of years ago, there was a guy I met there who said that he's a contractor. He's a construction contractor in England, and all the bridges and stuff they're building used to be made with a 100-year lifespan. Now they're being made with a 15-year lifespan. And that was about 5 years ago, and he was questioning why it is. He says it looks like society, that only intends society to last longer than 15 years. You know, so that's the sort of situation we're in, Richie. And so, you know, all of this stuff is so superficial anyway. There was no way we were going to get a political party which was going to change the world, and we were going to suddenly all be happy and be moving along in the same direction, living in this temporary accommodation, doing all these ridiculous bullshit jobs that mean nothing, doing all the stuff we do. There's no way this was ever going to turn into anything positive. The only way you're ever going to build anything positive is to have this whole thing come crashing and tumbling down into the dust, and that's what's about to happen. You know, they're trying to control the demolition so they come out on top. But, you know, hopefully it'll get to a point where people will become truly free and they will realize there's nothing to lose, and perhaps we'll build a better world from then, you know.
Let's, because I've given a bit of, unusually, a little bit of criticism to David Icke for something he said, just that one thing that he said, really, yesterday. Let's give him a bit of credit. Let's talk about vaccines. Because as long as I knew him and we were doing television and radio and even having a drink in the pub and having a chat, he talked about a time when people would be compelled to take a vaccine. And at that particular time, I would have listened respectfully to him as a mate in the pub over a glass of wine. But privately, I would have thought, nah, I can understand why he thinks that, but I don't believe it for a minute. I don't believe that there will come a time. He's been proven right, because not only today, but every day over the last week, and I do have a clip, but I can't play it because I haven't had time to edit it. But there was a guy this afternoon on Sky News who's been advising the government on economics for years, and another guy who's been a medical advisor to the government. And they were talking about the necessity for a vaccine to be, as I said, it's been everywhere for the last few days, to be widely distributed. And today they touched on the notion that, well, people would have to have it, you know, and that people couldn't go to work or people couldn't expect to be able to go here or to go there if they were to represent a danger to everybody else. So to give him, having given him a bit of mild criticism earlier on, although his supporters won't think that, let's give him a bit of praise. He's bang on the money, isn't he? Because either late this year or next year, there will be a vaccine of sorts. And those who choose, like you and like me and like many of the people listening to this program, those who choose to say, I'm not having it under any circumstances, well, our days of going places are scuppered, aren't they? You can't go to the concert. Mr. Egan, I'm sorry, but you can't get on that airplane to South America, Mr. Egan, or so on. He's bang on the money there. Mandated vaccines, we're here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it won't just be that. It'll be you can't apply for a driver's license and you can't walk into that supermarket either. You know, so that's the way it'll be. And, you know, really what they're saying is the vaccines don't work because we've all had our vaccines, so we're all good, but you haven't had one, so therefore you're carrying diseases that may infect us. Well, why? You've had the vaccine. I mean, aren't you protected against the disease? Aren't you more of a threat to me than I am to you? You know, but no, they don't think that way. It's crazy. You know, and the vaccines will be the ultimate control. I mean, who knows what they will do with these vaccines, Richie? You know, and there's something definitely insidious about these vaccines. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't want to bring them out to the entire world and make sure every man, woman, and child has one. You know, so they're modifying the human race in some way, I would suggest, anyway, simply because of the blanket vaccination that they want to do. And, yeah, he's been spot on. I mean, and that's where they're going. And people will welcome it. I mean, even places – I was talking – I did a report that I'm just sort of going to be uploading in a minute that there's two places in the world that aren't locked down. There's probably more, but there's two. There's one of them is Sweden and one of them is Belarus. And the people in Sweden are saying, well, we're just going to develop our own immunity and that will be good. That's what you do when there's a virus. You just develop immunity. And the people in Belarus are saying, oh, my God, why aren't you locking us down? You'll get us sick. You're going to kill us all by not locking us down. They're all begging to be locked down.
For it. And the Swedes. The Swedes are the same. The reports coming out of Sweden, which took a more sane approach to the outbreak, whatever it is. In Sweden, the government has been hammered by the Swedish media and presumably Swedish people for not giving them more lockdown. It's mad.
It's crazy, man. It's mad, crazy. But it's the media. You know, the media is the biggest problem that we face, the perception they put in people's minds. They control the narrative. And they're the ones that are pushing all the fear. That's what I was saying earlier. The media should be charged with terrorism, what they're doing to people. You got people sitting at home cowering under their beds thinking that there's this terrible infection out everywhere, and there isn't. We got people in New South Wales yesterday that someone got fined $2,000 for going for a drive in his car. Oh, it's not okay to just go driving. Who the hell are you? It's not okay to tell me I can't go driving.
Yeah.
If they ever come and give me a fine, I'll say, well, no, you may as well keep it because I'm not paying it. I'm not going to be paying your fine. I'll see you in court and I'll challenge you what you're doing because you have no authority here anyway on this country. So, I mean, to me, I see it as a huge opportunity for us to be able to push back against this corrupt bunch of parasites masquerading as government in this country. But I'm not going to be paying any of their fines. I'm not going to be doing what they're told, what I'm told. I just refuse to do it. So, you know, it'll going to be interesting to see where it goes, Richie. But I'm not going to back down on any of this. And I'm going to hold these people accountable for what they're doing and what they're saying. And I'm going to make as much noise as possible. I go to the supermarkets. I say it in the supermarket the other day. I was there. A lady had the face mask on. You know, the ladies, checkout girl.
Yeah.
And I've just looked at her and said, you look beautiful today, darling, you know. And she just looked at me. And I said to her, you know this is all fake, don't you? There's no pandemic. You know, you can't catch a virus. And I turned around and looked at the line behind me. They were all standing a meter and a half apart. I just looked at them. I said, you know, it's all fake, folks. There is no pandemic. The government's making it all up. They're lying. What this is about is crashing the economic system and locking you all down into a police state. And if you don't start pushing back, then your children are going to be living in hell and it's going to be your fault.
Did anybody say anything in response? Because I had a similar thing happen a few weeks ago in my local supermarket.
There was a few people in the line that were smiling and nodding and most of them were just looking away, looking at the ground, pretending that I wasn't there, you know?
Exactly. That's what happened to me. I went to a huge supermarket locally two or three Sundays ago and I saw them all wheeling trolley fulls of toilet roll. Honest to God, I lost my temper. And I'm actually not that much of an extrovert. You might think, not you, I mean, but people who have never encountered me or anybody who's been on radio, you might think, oh, naturally extroverted. I'm not. I'm a very quiet, very private guy outside of doing this when I turn into a bit of a monster and start shouting my opinions. But I wouldn't normally do it. And like you, I wasn't as eloquent as you. You see, you've got some sort of class about you. I'm an Irish guy, so I just started swearing loudly. And I thought I was going to get thrown out. I was like, what are you doing? And you effing morons and sheep. I probably went bananas. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And in the end, I quickly grabbed some stuff that I needed and just exited. And I was kind of embarrassed as I was walking away. You did it like a boss, Max. You did it like a boss even. I was just like swearing like a ranty Irish guy. But yeah, it scared me, Max. It scared me to see the compliance and the acquiescence,
it.
You know?
I've been doing it everywhere. Everywhere I go. I went into, you know, to buy a burger the other day. I did it in the burger shop. I do every single shop I go into. I do it in the garage. Everywhere I go. Anytime I see someone with a face mask on, I just look at them and say, you know, this is all bullshit, don't you?
Yeah. And has anybody said, you're right, mate, you know, because I have had that happen. There's
I had a few people have gone and they've gone, absolutely, this is crazy what's happening. And so you're speaking to the converted, mate, you're preaching to the choir, you know. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, no, well, my auntie's in hospital and she's very sick with coronavirus. And I say, well, she might be very sick, but I doubt that it's coronavirus because there's no test for it. And they go, oh, coronavirus has been around for years. And I go, yeah, coronavirus has had, but COVID-19, is there a test for COVID-19? Are you sure that's what she's got? Because, you know, they're just diagnosing anybody as coronavirus. And if you go and look at the obituary list, you'll find that everybody's dying of coronavirus. No one's dying of anything else anymore. Amazing. We've just got a healthy population except for this one virus this we one need thing. To get rid of. Isn't that wonderful?
Let's give a shout out, by the way, to mutual friend John Rappaport, because his writing and his investigation into the actual test is brilliant journalism. And if we were living in a different paradigm, in a parallel universe, John would get a Pulitzer for it, because he's exposed how their test throws up false positives. And he's used their own documentation to prove that. And it's just great work. That's johnrappaport.com. He deserves a mention there. I just thought I'd throw that in there. So you're optimistic. You think that out of when people have nothing to lose, it reminds me of that the old Bob Dylan song, when you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose, that there might be something positive come out of it. Some people worry about that. I speak to people who are concerned that if people's lives become unbearable and they end up with nothing, what might emerge is an aggressive, thuggish kind of mob culture. And people are very nervous of that as well. And maybe that nervousness about, you know, the strongest or the fittest survive, that if society did melt down, you'd end up with Mad Max, right? No pun intended. You'd end up with the film, you'd end up with outlaws and tough guys, and the weak people then wouldn't survive. A lot of people are genuinely concerned about that, and maybe that is a barrier to them saying, yeah, let's stand up to this. What do you think?
Well, look, you know, it could end up in a world like that if people don't stand up through this situation. That's the thing. You know, we ended up in a Hunger Games type society where you've got the smart cities and they're all locked down, connected by high speed rail, and everybody else is just out in the wilderness. It may well be a Mad Max type wilderness that would be the way it would end up if people don't take the opportunity now to push back and they let it turn into that. You know, because, you know, society will turn into that if we don't stop it. If you know, things are allowed to go to their natural progression, they will turn it into that. And they will sit back and love it and watch it and just enjoy watching people hack each other up, because that's what they get off on. They love chaos. They love seeing people in pain and suffering and hurting. I mean, why do you think they do any of the stuff they do? You know, so we could end up going that direction, Richie. It's a distinct possibility. But hopefully, like I said, it'll get to the point where people will start pushing back. They'll realize that they've lost everything. You know, but that's why they're doing it kind of gradually over a period of a couple of months. I mean, even the money system, we're not going to see it crash completely, not in the next sort of week or two. I mean, it may take to the end of next year before it's gone completely. I don't think it will take that long, but they may stretch it out just to make it more gradual. You know, the frog, the boiling frog sort of syndrome, you know. The water's pretty well starting to bubble now, though. But, you know, it's going to get to the point where people will start jumping out and people will start pushing back, I think. Now, hopefully it won't turn into that Mad Max type society. But even that Mad Max type society would be almost better than what they've got planned for us, you know. So, I don't want to be living in this tightly controlled digital control grid where I'm not even able to be human anymore. I prefer to be living in a teepee, in a tent, in a cave, living out there and surviving on my wits in the forest if it came to it. So, you know.
When remind our listeners of where they can find you? I know the majority will. You said you've got a report that's due to be published shortly. It's obviously centred around this. What are you talking about? What can people look forward to when they watch that report later?
Well, it was just a walk and talk. I've been doing these walk and talks lately, Richie. I've just been going out and just giving my opinion of the day. And my bandwidth is so bad here that it's only like a 25 minute video. I started uploading it before I went to bed last night. And I went to bed last night about 8 o'clock last night. And then I got up this morning thinking that'll all be done. And it still had an hour and a half left to go on the upload. And I had to cancel the upload so I could do this interview with you. So I'll go into town and I'll upload it there. That's ridiculous. That's how bad my bandwidth is. And I'm just kind of walking around in the country and I'm talking about the situation that we're in and the need for people to stand up, the need for people to treaty with the tribes and discover sovereignty here in this country, because I think that's a way out in this country. The fact that the Crown doesn't actually own this land, it's all come out through their own law and everything. This land is owned by the original people, the Aboriginals, the tribal people is who owns this country. And we have an opportunity to step back into their law and step out of the jurisdiction of the Crown in this country. And that's what I'm encouraging people to do. So I talked about that a little bit as well. There's an interview that I posted yesterday with a guy called Gunambatty Jakamara, who goes through the whole thing and who is sovereign in this country and why the Crown doesn't know. And we could just walk into Parliament House on June 30 this year and just tell them all to leave if we wanted to. So I'm hoping that will happen. Now, it probably won't, but it would be great if enough people got wind of what's going on. So that's the sort of stuff I'm talking about on that report and just trying to bring something positive, trying to inspire people to stand up. I mean, the most important thing people can do at the moment is share information and get the awareness in people's minds of what's actually happening with this pandemic, because there is so much evidence to show that this is fake and there is no COVID-19. There is no pandemic. They're just relabeling any type of illness at all as being COVID-19 related. And, you know, they're using it to lock us down. And once we get locked down into that society, there's not going to be any coming back from it. There's going to be no way out. People that are born into that reality are not going to know what freedom was. They will have no reference point at all. So we are at an incredibly crucial time in history, and people have to get active. They've got to stop sitting at home watching YouTube videos and just, you know, consuming information. They've got to be getting out there, spreading it with people, talking to at least two or three people a day about what's going on, spreading all the good information, ringing up their councillors, going and talking to their politicians, telling them that we know what's going on, that they're gone. You know, we're going to get you out. We're not going to do this. We're not complying. Ring up the bloody commissioner of police and tell him, look, we know we're on to you. We know what you're doing. You know, you're not going to get away with it. Just make noise. Make noise. People have got to make noise about this. But the worst thing people could be doing is sitting in home, cowering in fear of this virus. You know, they've got to start uniting with people, forming ties with people, creating contacts with people. I'm fully expecting the internet to go down at some stage as well. It's been so bad lately. The bandwidth has been so bad. And I always have bad bandwidth where I live, but I'm hearing it from so many people now that are saying the internet just isn't working properly. And this is going to be the excuse they use to, we've got to shut it down for a couple of days to run, run, run. It'll be while they roll out all their 5G stuff, which they're rolling out everywhere now. They're putting in all the towers now while everybody's locked down.
That's right. Now, that's true. That's important that you mention that, because, again, some independent media creators, content creators, have claimed this and they have been lambasted for saying so. So where I can be critical occasionally, I've got to be absolutely spot on in endorsing that. You are right. They are. They're doing it on steroids now that people are locked into their houses. You're right. Yep.
They're rolling out and putting these towers out everywhere, and then they're saying we're going to have a huge wave of coronavirus sickness, aren't we? Well, is that going to be because you've switched all the towers on? Is that what you're doing? Have you created this whole coronavirus pandemic and all the hospitals are empty? You're waiting for the hospitals to be filled up because you know they're going to be filled up when you actually switch 5G on. You know, and then you're going to be able to say, oh, look, see, it was coronavirus, and look, everyone's still getting it even though we locked you down, so we're going to have to lock you down even more. There's talks coming in now saying, a lot of the coronavirus seems to be being spread in the home, so we may have to go and remove people from their homes, is what they're talking about now. I saw that on the British news yesterday. So talking about removing people from their homes, going and separating families, taking them from their homes because, oh, look, everyone's getting sick. Even though we locked everybody down, everybody's still getting sick because they're going to when they switch these antennas on. So they're protecting it. They're hedging their bets so they can just say, oh, it's all because of coronavirus. But they're running out and putting all this shit out there and putting all this infrastructure out there while people are locked down, they're not looking. You know, why would they be doing that? What if it's only essential services out there working? How is guys putting up towers, essential services? Shouldn't they be home in quarantine? Shouldn't they be locked down with face masks on? How you come you've got workers out there putting up these towers and stuff, you know? So, you know, people need to really think about what's going on here and how we're being set up. They've created this whole scenario, and then they'll be able to say, oh, it was all you conspiracy theorists. It's all you people who didn't obey the lockdown, and you're irresponsible going out there spreading death by going outside.
The ready-made excuse. The ready-made excuse is there, yeah.
And the fact that they're rolling all this out while people are under lockdown, I think it's very, very significant, Richie.
I've just been told just before we part company for today, and thanks again for doing it, for first of all putting your upload on hold so you could do this. I really appreciate that. You know, I really do mean that. I'm not just saying it. Jean Anne Crowley, who's listening to this with great interest in Connemara, has said that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is on Facebook. You can find Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Facebook. Actually, the musician Jim Corr has published or posted something that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has posted about 5G, which is very prescient, very pertinent to what we're talking about. So if I can find a way to link to that, I will. Like I said, I'm not on Twitter temporarily, and I don't really use Facebook. TheCrowHouse.com, and there's only one Max Egan, I-G-A-N. That's Indigo Golf Alpha November, I think, I-G-A-N. There's only one. If this is the first time, in the event it is the first time you've heard Max, go and check out his body of work. I can't endorse it more seriously than I'm doing now. Check the man out and give him a listen. And when he can, he supports his theories with available evidence. And when he can't, to his credit, he says, this is what I think, and this is why I think it. And I really do appreciate that. Thanks, mate, for coming back today. I really appreciate that. And I hope in the next month or two, sooner, if possible, that you'll come back again. I know the time difference is crazy, but I do hope you'll do that. Thanks so much for your time again today, Max. Final word to you, mate.
Pleasure to come on, Richie. Always happy to come and talk to you. As you mentioned, my website is thecrowhouse.com. If anybody wants any more information, you'll find it there. And hopefully we'll have more positive things to talk about next time. Yeah. I don't know. Somehow I can't see that happening, you know.
No, mate,
I
can't.
But hold on to your hat, Richie, and stay safe, brother, and we'll talk soon.
We will indeed. Cheers, Max. The brilliant Max Egan live on the line from his home, coming up to 4 a.m. there. Very kind of him to do that for us today. TheCrowHouse.com. I've lost the power of speech momentarily. Is Max's website. And if you look for Max on Egan, you'll find The Crow House there as well. Just a quick one. I interviewed a very interesting lady last week called Celeste Solemn, and she was fascinating, talking about transhumanism. And a number of you said to me, oh, that was very interesting, Richie, listening to that lady. One or two of you were interested in the spiritual aspect of that. And I had an email from somebody who said, oh, Richie, I listen with great interest, but I was put off by Celeste bringing the celestial battle into it, you know, the battle of end times and all of that. Don't be put off by that. I was mindful of those emails and those comments. There is a book that I reviewed a few years ago. I'll give it a mention, particularly because I've been a bit critical today. I'll give it a mention in the interest of fairness. I reviewed a book by the aforementioned David Icke back in 2016. It was a book called Phantom Self, which I reviewed. I wasn't asked to review it. I reviewed it. I read it, and then I gave a review of it. And if you want a read that knits together everything that's been happening in the last 10 to 15 years, right, with technology and where it's going and where it's leading in terms of transhumanism and how the human body and the human mind is going to be transformed utterly through technology in the coming years, I recommend you do take a look at Phantom Self, that particular book. I gave a stellar review to it back in 2016. If you want to pursue that whole angle to this, the transhumanism angle. There you go. Right, that's it for today's programme. Massive thanks to Max Egan, as always, for coming on. Thanks to you for listening. I'm sorry I can't read your comments out as they're coming in on Twitter, because I have no access to my Twitter account at the moment. I'll be back with you tomorrow, leaving you with Bruce Springsteen. Look after yourselves and one another. Bye for now. We play King.